great sense of God in the place. You can agree with me if you like. What I want to share with you this morning is quite forceful, but it's not forced, if you know what I mean. I believe the words are quite powerful, but they are full of grace. How many know God is a graceful God? He doesn't come along with a lump hammer. You know, we're pretty good with a lump hammer where we can tell people where it's at. We can tell them what we think. God is so gracious. Doesn't he have an incredible way of bringing truth? It's called his word, of bringing truth, but in such a way that it leaves us in a place where we want to change. You can agree with me this morning. Just let me know you're there. And so I want to share with you on this summer topic today. My title is, in case you've not read it behind me, is Let's Get Naked. Now there's some response. Some of you have just woken up right now there. Let me get right into this because we've got quite a bit to get through. By the way, it's great to be home. Don't you love home? Home is good. It's good to go away, but it's good to be home. And I saw this scripture in the Old Testament, the book of Job. Some of you will know it. Some of you will hear it now for the first time. But it's in the first chapter of Job. And it reads like this in verse 21. Job said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. How many know when everything's been taken away, maybe it's not that easy to say, praise the name of the Lord. And so I say this, naked born, naked death, and in between our identity, everyone say identity. In between naked born and naked death, in between, I believe our identity is both formed and found by what we choose to wear. I'm talking here about what we choose to put on ourselves. What we choose to clothe ourselves with. Or indeed, what others have placed on us. Does that make sense? In other words, what we choose to cover our nakedness with. Understand what I'm saying here metaphorically. What we choose to cover our nakedness with. You know, as I read about Adam and Eve, because, hey, right at the beginning, you've got Adam and Eve who are in the nude. So I thought, okay, Adam and Eve were pretty cool with their nakedness. According to Genesis chapter 2, and verse 25, which reads, now the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Here we are, right at the beginning of time, and they were naked, and they felt no shame. They were cool with their nakedness. Up until, of course, their disobedience. And up until their disobedience, their identity was found in their relationship with God. And come to Genesis 3 and verse 7, and the story changes at the point of disobedience where it says this, at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So here's what they did. They sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Can I suggest to you, whoever you are this morning, suggest to you that since this time, we have done nothing else but try and cover up our nakedness, our vulnerability, our insecurities. Come on. And here's a thought followed by a question for us today. Have you ever got to a point in your youth, in your middle age, in your maturity? Have you ever got to a point in your life where you've started asking questions about yourself? Here's one. Who am I? Isn't it amazing? Other people will tell you who you are. You want to know the answer? Go and ask someone else. They'll tell you who you are. Who am I? I know what I've got. And I know what I've accomplished to date. But I'm not quite sure who I am. And then, I don't know about you, but that kind of leads on to another string of questions. And particularly when we get a little bit older, we get a little bit of maturity and we've lived a little bit of life and we've had some experiences and the good, the bad, and sometimes the really ugly in life. And we start to ask other questions like, so who am I and why? Why is it that I react in the way that I react? Whoa, there's one you ask yourself. Never ask the husband or wife that one. Never ask your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Never ask somebody else. Never ask your best mate that one, because they're going to tell you why you react in that way. Or why is it that I think a certain way? Do you ever ask yourself the question, why is it that people are like that? Why do I have to be the one that thinks like that? And the result for me comes to something in relation to God. And this is what I think, and I want to throw this out here to you because you may feel like this, or this may just help you. And I say, when God starts to deal with us, because how many know that's what God does? You know, in such a gracious way, but all through our lives, he's wanting to take us somewhere. He's trying to make us into who he wants us to be. He's doing some stuff for our good, and he's working all things together for good because we love him, and he's showing us some things. So all the way through our lives, he's dealing with us. So this is what I notice, that when God starts to deal with some stuff in our lives, I don't know about you, but I just start to feel a little bit naked. Like Adam and Eve, and so we come to Genesis 3 and we move on a little bit and we see that stuff's happened and suddenly they're saying stuff like verse 10, Genesis 3. He replied, this is Adam replying to God. I heard you walking in the garden, God. Because they had a good relationship, but suddenly something's changed. And I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. You ever play hide and seek with God? God comes out in the cool of the day and wants to speak to you. He wants to commune with you, wants relationship with you, loves you, doesn't hate you. For you, not against you. We hide. Why do we hide? Because we get afraid of our nakedness. When God starts to see some of the stuff that we don't want other people to see about our lives, we get afraid because we become naked. Now, we need to, I believe, understand something here that God, this is God. God is trying to get us naked. Now, let me just clarify for those of you that are getting excited right now, that we're speaking metaphorically here. God is trying to get us naked so that he can clothe us with the right stuff. And the reason that he wants to do that is so that he, everyone say he, God, everyone say God, so that God can seal our identity. In between nakedness born and nakedness death, we try on an awful lot of garments. Many we put on ourselves, and many society chooses for us. Our friends, our family, our people around us, that some of the things that we put on because they bought them for us. They introduced them to us. They were things that we felt we should wear. They were our expectation to wear these things. So much of our identity is found in our garments. How about the coat? The coat that we wear of self-image. There's a talk in every one of these. How about the shoes of our accomplishments? We've all got some of those. Some of us like to talk about them more than others, but we've all got some. Shoes of accomplishments that we wear. How about the backpack, because we feel the weight of the responsibility that we carry in life? How about that? This is something that we wear, the responsibilities of life. How about the jacket of possessions? The things that are ours, the things that we own, the things that we say, my name is on those things, you know? So some of us have a bigger jacket pocket than others, but we all have a jacket pocket. The possessions. How about the cardigan of position? Something that we put on, we carry in life. We carry this position. We wear it. Some of us wear it really well. How about the hat of reputation? The thing that can take 20 years to build and can drop in a moment. Reputation comes and goes. It comes very slowly, goes so fast. It's pretty sad that, isn't it, really? So this is an old hat. Some of you wearing that old hat of reputation. It's a good hat. It's been faithful to you for many, many years. How about the gloves of gifting? Someone came to me once in our church community, and they were new. And they came to me and they said, my name is, they gave me their name, and they said, and I'm a worship leader. And that was an interesting start. My name is, and I'm a worship leader. Didn't take me long to discover that this person's identity had been stood behind a piano for 20 years. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, what do you wear? I wear a piano. This had become their identity. You know, We've often tried on all of these garments. Some of us have all of those garments. Some of them in plenty. But we have all of these garments of self-image and possessions and reputation and gifting. And do you know, some of you, it's taken you decades to get all those clothes on. A lot of hard work, a lot of skill, a lot of pain, a lot of joy. But it's taken a long time to build that reputation that we wear. Some of us carry a lot of responsibility and we feel that backpack. Some of us have possessions and some a lot, some maybe not a lot, but we have these things. And for some of us, it's taken decades to get where we are today. And yet the reality is, and in all honesty, for many of us this morning, we can still stand up in our dressing room wondering who we are. You know, insecurity. It's really quiet in here, and I'm cool with that this morning. I think you're listening. Thank you for the noise, just to let me know you're still alive. Insecurity is a funny thing, isn't it? It's not so funny. I hate being insecure. Okay. But insecurity is like, not funny, ha-ha, but funny, peculiar. It's a crazy thing, isn't it? Thank you for the ones that admit that they're insecure this morning. And insecurity is so linked to identity. You see, for let me tell you something about me. For most of my life, I've been known as Ray's son. Okay, for those of you who don't know, my father was Ray, led this church before me, world traveler, world changer, went to glory just a few months ago. I was known as Ray's son. So whenever I was with him, we'd go to conferences, we'd be at, I don't know, gatherings, wherever we'd go, I'd be introduced as Ray's son. This is Ray's son. I was like, I got a name too, you know. It's Ray's son. This is Ray's son. When I would go elsewhere without my father, I'd travel abroad and people would come and they'd say, are you Ray's son? So I was known as Ray's son. And then there came a kind of a change in my life after a certain period of time, and my relationships changed and began to see a lot of new people, travel to new places. And then I became known as Andrew's brother. Are you Andrew's brother? Yeah, I am Andrew's brother, yeah. And I would go to places in, I don't know, far off places in the world. Yeah, you would not believe. And I'd be sat in meetings with people and they'd say, do you know what? I knew a guy once who had a name like yours. I'm thinking, come on, Belfield. It's not Jones or Smith, is it? Of course you know who this is. And I think, was his name Andrew? Yeah, his name was Andrew. Are you his brother? And then I would travel to other places and preach at certain places, and some places I get introduced as, this is Andrew Belfield's brother. Thank you. But it's really good, you know, today to stand in the security of who I am. And so before I go any further, I'd like to say, hi everyone, I'm Helen's husband. Insecurity is such a funny thing. And it's like we deal with that stuff all of our lives. Can I just say, I prefer being Helen's husband. Yeah. You're punching, lad. Yeah, I know. Then I thought, you know, if I was, so on the back of that, and you've got your own stories with that, of course. You identify with that because many of you have had the same thing. Some of you are still living in that right now. So I had this thought, if I was stripped naked, don't have that thought. I had this thought that if I was stripped naked of my clothing today, What would be my covering? You understand I'm speaking metaphorically again. Thank you. What would be my covering? And I thought, Dave, pick on yourself rather than pick on them. So I thought, hey, Dave, like, what would be your covering if your house was gone? Because I like my house. I built it. It's nice. What happens if that was taken? What if suddenly I drive a couple of miles from here and it's gone? New owner comes to the door. Hiya. Bye. Get out of my crib. What happens if it's gone? What happens if my car's gone? Particularly my classic car. Wow. What if you take my possessions? What if the stuff, whatever's in the bank, what happens if I wouldn't know? Helen knows, I don't know, I don't ask. What happens if that's gone? What happens if suddenly I'm flatlined and everything that I owned is suddenly gone and I'm left without anything that I owned, that kind of I've dressed myself in because they're nice things, and what happened if they were suddenly gone? What would I be covered in? What would be my clothing? And then I thought about my position, my privileged position of being not only a leader of this church community, but a leader of this town, I believe. What about that position? What about my privileged position of leading you guys to destiny, of leading us in the purposes of God and in the workings and in the kingdom of God? What happens if that was gone? What happens if suddenly I ain't got what I do anymore? It's not my position to be senior leader. Hate the word senior now. I used to love it when I was younger. Don't like it anymore. Just leader. Don't call me senior leader. Don't call me pastor. I ain't one. Senior leader. What happens if I wasn't that anymore? That's my position. A position of authority. Position with great responsibility. Position of privilege. It's been my honor and my privilege to lead this community. What happens if I was sat down there with you and someone else was doing this job? How would I feel? If it wasn't there anymore. Taken away. Not even in a bad way, just not doing it anymore. What would be my covering? Is this ringing any bells in your life? What happens if just out of the blue I've no skills anymore? Because I like what I can do. Some of you have noticed that for a while. God's blessed me with some stuff. I've got some creative gifts. I'm pretty good with my hands. I can put my hands to most stuff, build and create things. It's not a brag, it's a fact of life. My skills and my abilities. What about if I couldn't communicate anymore? It was taken away from me. What's going to cover my nakedness? You see what I'm saying? And so I asked the question outside. Thank you. Someone else asking the questions this morning as well. Outside of that stuff, outside of what I own, outside of my privileged position, outside of my reputation, outside of my skills. There's one reputation. We were praying for each other as a staff the other day, and we have this chair that we call, for fun, we call our prophecy chair. The interesting thing is when we start praying for people, it tends to happen. So we start saying stuff over people's lives and just encouraging them and blessing them. And you will be this, you will be that. God says this to your life. And so I'm sat in the chair and I thought, they're all looking at each other. Who wants to pray for him? Like, what do you say to him? So after about 15 minutes, it got a bit awkward. Somebody starts praying for me. And they just started to articulate some what they believe is my reputation in this church, in this town. They said some really lovely things. Cool. So I've got a reputation. What happens if that went? What happens if that just wasn't there anymore? And outside of all that stuff, I had to come to this question. Is Christ enough for me? Is my relationship with God enough for me? Is who I am in Him enough for me? Do you know, for most of us, for most of the time, it's not. There's the stark reality. We're just being honest. And I'm saying, I ask those questions and I'm thinking, well, God, it is, but can I still have? Can I still be? Can I still do? Come on, band, come and join me now. As they're coming up, and we're going to just come into a time where we, hopefully our hearts are pliable and they're soft before God. You know, whether you're new here or whether you've been coming here for a long, long time, hopefully our hearts are soft towards God, because this is a forceful message, but it's not forced. These are powerful words, but there is the grace of God. And so as they prepare and as they just start to play quietly behind what I'm saying, please don't turn the podcast off. There's more. Otherwise, people will be saying, why did you turn him off before he finished? And others will be saying, so glad you turned him off before he was finished. But I just want to preach on just for a few minutes as the guys begin to play. And so we walk through life between nakedness born and nakedness death, with our comfort blanket, covering our nakedness. We all have our comfort blankets. They cover what we don't want people to see. We feel good in them. Sometimes we sit Netflix with our cover, you know, our comfort blanket on. Sometimes we carry it through town. Sometimes we go to work with it on. It's our comfort blanket. We all have one. We all had one. We thought we'd left it when we were three, but we took it with us. It's a comfort blanket. And it's covering our nakedness. But when God starts to pull at the comfort blanket, which is what He's been doing with some of our lives recently, He starts to pull away the comfort blanket. And it's not very comfortable. It doesn't feel very good, because we don't like showing our nakedness, you know? Well, most of us don't anyway. We cover up. We don't want anyone to see, because we see that as weakness. We see it as shame. We cover it up quickly. Let's look at what we've got. Let's look at what we've achieved. We just don't want people to see our nakedness, because when nakedness is revealed, everyone looks. You noticed. Don't care who it is. Oh, there's a naked guy running down the by the Douglas. All the staff, let's go and look. There's something about nakedness. People want to look. It's on the television. People want to look. It's not comfortable when God starts to pull away that comfort blanket. I have watched people of maturity reach retirement and entered a season of meltdown because they undressed from their coat of position. And suddenly their nakedness was revealed. I'm saying I've seen nakedness in old age, and it's not a pretty sight. Let me tell you something, if we don't deal with this stuff in our youth, it always comes back in our maturity. The easiest thing to do, and the things that I've seen of people across the world in this kind of scenario, is that the easiest thing to do is that when the comfort blanket has been taken and nakedness has been revealed, the easiest thing to do is to get another comfort blanket and go and do something else. Do something else. Get another position. Cover ourselves up with our comfort blanket. This works the same, not just with position, but with possessions. And so when our possessions are not good enough, when our possessions bring us to a place where we've had success, when we've reached what the society would say is success, and we look at all the stuff, it's not enough. And all we do is we get another comfort blanket and we create more stuff and more stuff and more stuff to try and satisfy, to try and bring that identity, to try and bring who am I? I realize who I am. It's all of this success. It's all of this stuff that I have created. Can I say it's a poor substitute for who you really are? The easiest thing to do is always to go down the route of there's more. There's more. So the best thing we can do right now, let's bow our heads for a moment, just so we're thinking more about God and His presence than the person across the room that you think this is for, whilst God is speaking into your heart right now. The best thing you can do today, the best thing we can do today, is to get naked before God. You see, we can try all sorts of garments on in life, but I want to tell you something. Ultimately, it's His, God's. It's His clothing. It's His covering that is the only thing that really fits you. Job, this man that we started with, had a lot of issues in his life, a lot of problems. He had a lot of possessions, a lot of stuff, a lot of success, great reputation. But this was a man that everything was taken from him. A bit like I said before, everything was taken from him. This was the same man who quoted about naked born, naked death. But this is what he said of his in-between. This in-between bit, this is what he said. Job 29:14, everything I did was honest. Righteousness covered me like a robe. And I wore justice like a turban. Wow. When everything was taken, he knew his identity. And I love this scripture in Isaiah 61:10, where it reads like this. I am, he writes, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. For he has dressed me. For he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. Let me tell you something. Whoever you are today, when God is dealing with us, He exposes our nakedness because He wants to clothe us in His righteousness. Full of grace, full of kindness, full of truth. As we're together in the presence of God, here's the challenge. Some of you are so resonated with this. I want to encourage you to get metaphorically naked with God right now. I don't know if that means that you should come out here. You should just come out. You should do something. Come out into the aisle. Come out to the front. Do something. Kneel down. Do something that says, God, before you right now, I am laying bare. I am getting naked before you. God, I am going to come to a place where I'm going to take some stuff off. The stuff that I have felt has been me, but it's not me. It's not my identity. It's what I'm known for, but it's not me, because I know I am who you say I am. You need to do something now. If it's to come out now. Come on, our heads are bowed. We're before God. We're naked together before God. If you need to do that, come out. If you need to kneel down where you are, if you need to come into the aisles, do something. If you need to stand and lift your hands, do something. Act on it now. Do it now. Do something. Come on, do something now. I want to ask you a question as you're doing that. In this, what is an image-driven society, whose image are you in? You see, it's easy to say, I am who you say I am. Very often, tomorrow we believe, I am who they say I am. Or I am who I say I am. Same question to you as came to me when I asked myself as I lay bare before God, are you content to be His child? Are you content to be His child? Is Christ enough for you? You know, if only to clarify, if only to say, God, this is me. If only to say, God, I identify. God, I know who I am. I have this stuff. I have this reputation. But God, I declare today, I am who you say I am. Those things will not define me. My identity will not be declared by what people say about me. But I am who you say I am. Is Christ enough for me? Without anything else that God may choose to bless me with, that's cool. Without anything else that God may do with my life, without anything else that He may choose to give me in honor and position and reputation, without all of that stuff, God, are you enough for me? I feel many of you have acted in whatever way, where you are or whether you've come forward, is really irrelevant. To understand who you are is more. And I think just as we sing this kind of refrain through incredible words, I want that liberty, that freedom to come. You may be in here today and you don't know that robe of salvation. You don't know Jesus for yourself. I ask you to respond in your heart towards Him as we sing these incredible words. Because the one who the Son, that's Jesus, sets free is free indeed. So whether it's for salvation today, to know God for yourself, or to be released from this stuff, to know who you are in Christ, whether it's an identity issue, whatever it is, you know what, as we sing again, I want you to And again, metaphorically, just remove something. Just let something go from you. This stuff, let the stuff that's so pressurized, let it go so that God can come along and clothe you in righteousness. It's almost undress yourself of all of that expectation, all of that stuff, so that God can clothe you. Does that make sense? Let's do that as we sing one time. One more time, and then we're going for